Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. This is God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted and it is already late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." "You give them something to eat," he responded. They said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Now, those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is the one miracle that Jesus did that is recorded in all four Gospels. He did many, many miracles. John tells us in his Gospel that if all the miracles Jesus did were written down, the world wouldn't be able to contain all the books that would be written to record the miracles. Jesus did miracles a lot. But this miracle is the one of all the miracles that is recorded in all four Gospels. So apparently there's something a little special about this one. Now, each of them records it a little differently. They don't all share the exact same details in their accounts. There's not a conflict among them. It's just different emphasis, and this person thought this needed to be mentioned, and this person thought this needed to be mentioned, and they were guided by the Holy Spirit in recording what they said. Mark gives us a somewhat abbreviated account. There are a number of details that are left out, like, for instance, the fact that it was a little boy's lunch, or the fact that it was the disciple Andrew who brought the little boy to Jesus. The reason that our school is St. Andrew's School is because of Andrew in the Bible, who not only brought this little boy to Jesus, who had the loaves and fish, but the first thing we learn about Andrew as we read in the Gospels is that when he met Jesus, he immediately went and got his brother and brought him. The first thing he did was to go and get his brother and bring him. And we want this ministry to be about bringing people to Jesus, which is what the Apostle Andrew was famous for. He brought people to Jesus. Now, in the details that Mark does give us, there are a number of things that we need to dwell on for a few moments. The first is the fact that this whole miracle took place in the context of fatigue. They were having so much ministry going on, so much happening, that Jesus said, you know, you need to go with me to a remote place. Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's what we're going to try and do. How did that work out? When they got to the remote place, there was a crowd waiting for them. And Jesus felt irritation toward them. Is that what it says? No, it says Jesus felt compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. One of the things that you learn if you interact with sheep is that they are not really all that bright. Okay? Other animals are often trained to perform. Bears even are trained to perform. Lions and tigers, dogs, cats, rats, horses, all kinds of animals are trained to do things. Not sheep. Sheep are not very bright, short-sighted, and they just kind of move from one thing to eat to another thing to eat, and they need somebody to look after them. And God says, you are my sheep. And we say, we think we're pretty smart sometimes. God says, you need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. If you think, I'm going to make it on my own, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to follow my inner compass and just fulfill my desires, you will end up eaten by wolves. But Jesus, seeing their need, began to teach them. And he taught them many things. But the day grew late. And the disciples came at the end of a day that they had hoped was going to be their day off. It was going to be their vacation. It was going to be the retreat with the master. It was going to be time to relax. Instead, there are all these people there. There are always all these people there. It seems like we never get rid of all the people. People are always there. What are we going to do? They come to Jesus and they say, you know, we've been thinking. It's getting late. We're in a remote place. These people haven't had anything to eat. I think we ought to send them away. Let them go and get something to eat. We need to take care of these people, Jesus. I know you're all about taking care of people. Well, now's the time to be decisive and send them on their way. What do you think? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. What in the world is Jesus talking about? What? We don't have that kind of food. We don't have that kind of resource. You want us to go out and shop for all these folks? There were thousands of people. They hadn't counted them yet. They'd count them after they were seated in groups of 50 and hundreds, which if you check the other Gospels, wasn't just a random thing. Jesus told the disciples to have them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. But it was obvious that there were a ton of people. Lots and lots and lots of people. And they didn't really have any food to share. The loaves and fish that they were going to share were the provisions of a little boy. That wasn't Peter's lunch. It wasn't John's lunch. It was a little boy's lunch. And so they're saying, send them away. One of the reasons that they felt a need for time away was because they'd been so busy they didn't even get to eat. Remember? That's what it said at the beginning. Many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So this eating thing and this resting thing are being thwarted once again. Okay? And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. They said, you want us to go shopping and get something to eat? It's going to cost us a year's wages. Jesus said, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. One of the patterns you'll see with miracles in Scripture, when God's going to provide, he often asks the people to see what they have. Because often when we feel like we have nothing, we mean relatively speaking. Okay? God says to his people on multiple occasions, what do you have? I'll take you back, for example, to a fellow by the name of Moses. You've heard of him. Okay? And he's saying, how am I supposed to get these people to believe that you've sent me? And God says to him, what have you got in your hand? I don't have anything in my hand. Yeah, you do. Oh, well, that's my staff. God says, throw it down. He throws it down and it turns into a snake, a giant serpent. Okay? He had something in his hand. But God tells him, throw it down. And when he throws it down and it becomes a serpent, God says, pick it up. I don't like the trend here. Okay? I mean, when I threw it down, my situation got worse. Now you want me to pick it up. He obeys God, always the right choice. And when he picks it up, it becomes a staff again. Only now, it's the staff of God. It was Moses' staff. Now something's changed. Because God takes what we have and turns it into something miraculous when we obey him regarding it. And that doesn't just apply to a staff. That applies to our money. It applies to relationships. It applies to our time, our talents, whatever we've got, if we will obey God with it. God will use it miraculously. But God's miracles happen over and over, Old and New Testament, in the context of obedience. God works his miracles when we obey.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Humanly speaking, this was an impossible situation. Please notice there's much more left over after all the people have eaten than there was to start with. There are 12 baskets full of food when they're all done. God is more than able to meet every need and beyond. Okay? But God works his miracles in the context of obedience. He told them, this is what you're to do. The first thing he told them about it was, you give them something to eat. Now, if God says, you give them something to eat, guess what you're going to be enabled to do? You're going to be enabled to give them something to eat. How is that possible? We don't have anything. You want us to go shopping? He says, what do you have? God will ask you from time to time to inventory your resources. Not just because God wants to use your resources, but because God wants you to see how big a miracle he's about to do. If they had just said, okay, everybody, anybody who's got any food, pass it around. We're gonna try and see if we can all share and make this work. When they ended up with 12 baskets full of food afterwards, they would have said, wow, we didn't know we had that much. It's like my beloved story about the man falling off the roof, cries out, God save me, Just then his pants catch on a nail, and he says, "Never mind, my pants just caught on a nail." That's how a lot of people live. They run into a mess, they call out to God, God answers prayer, and they say, "Oh, I guess it wasn't a big deal after all." Let me tell you something. God will often put his dearly loved children in situations where we will realize that in order for us to do what God commands, it's going to take a miracle. Many people refuse to do what God says because it's impossible. Well, it's impossible apart from God. It's not impossible with God. These folks were told to do something that would only be possible through the power of God. Let me see if I can think of another example of that phenomenon in Scripture that maybe you'll realize applies to you. Be holy because I am holy. How am I supposed to be holy? Well, it will take God. But don't think that when God's commands require God's power, we are excused. That's not the way it works. So, Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." They respond, okay, we do have some money. Judas, how much money have we got? He was the treasurer, don't forget. Should we buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? One of the disciples, apparently something of an accounting mindset, said a year's wages would only be enough for everybody to get one bite. He had calculated it. He was good. Some people are good at that. And Jesus said to them, he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" Here's the next command. Go and see. They're not allowed to just stand there and say, "Well, we don't have anything. I mean, we don't have anything. You ain't got anything? We don't have anything." Jesus says, "Go see." Andrew's the one who's going to come back and say, "Well, here's a little boy with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that among so many?" That was his question for Jesus. But he was the one who went and found the boy. Well, when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he instructed them, here's the third command, then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. He's giving them instructions. He's telling them, this is what you're to do, this is how you're to do it. That kind of instruction opens the opportunity for us to be a part of a miracle. But he has them sit down in groups of 50 and 100, and then Jesus doesn't give the details here, but we know it from the other Gospels. Jesus did something that I think is not just beautiful, but it's exactly what we're supposed to do. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. When you are facing this need and you've got this much, do you give complaint or do you give thanks? What am I going to do with this? This is not enough. There's no way this is going to meet the need. Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks. When it says he blessed the meal, you check the other Gospels. He gave thanks. Are you giving thanks for what's in your hands? What do you have? Oh, all I've got is this. Are you giving thanks for that? We're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. Are you thanking God for what he has entrusted to you? I was hoping he'd give me this. Well, he didn't. He gave you this. Are you thanking God for it? Well, I'll thank him if he gives me this. You're not going to get that. Not with that attitude. But if your attitude is, thank you, Lord, for what I have, then you're in a place of blessing. So, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. And it says he kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. 5,000 men plus women and children are going to get fed. It would take tractor trailer loads in order to feed that many people. One big truckload would not do that. 5,000 men plus women and children, and Jesus is starting out with a little boy's lunch, and he just kept going like this. How does he do that? I don't know. But I'm getting tired because I keep running back and forth among the crowd, and I'm having to, he just keeps. You know what I've discovered about Jesus? He hadn't changed. He still just keeps doing miracles and handing out what's needed. And it's like, where is it coming from? How's he doing this? I don't know. They're sitting on the grass. Jesus is given thanks, and he keeps giving the loaves and fish to the disciples to be set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them, it says. Everyone ate a bite. Is that what it says? Everyone ate and was satisfied. That's amazing. There was plenty. As a matter of fact, there wasn't just plenty. There was more than enough. After everyone ate and was satisfied, they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. Apparently God's into leftovers. Okay? More than enough. Now, I don't know what kind of seemingly impossible problem you may be facing, but if you have been around any length of time, I am sure that you either have faced such a problem or are facing such a problem. And if you haven't been around very long, and so you say, I've never faced a problem like that. I've never felt responsible for anything in my life. You will. You will. And God is still the same today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I would ask you, are you going to complain? Are you going to despair? Are you going to try and wiggle your way out of the problem? Or are you going to realize that God puts us in situations where the need exceeds our supply apart from God, so that we will realize that we're not supposed to live apart from God? God puts us in those situations so that we won't try and make it on our own. He puts us in those situations and gives us commands so that we will realize the only way this is going to work is if God does a miracle. And God says, I'm so glad you understand that. Got it? God is not short on power. He's not short on ideas. He's already got this thing mapped out. And so while to us it looks like an impossibility, God says it's an opportunity. I'm about to do something for my glory. And you and I need to give him all the praise.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.